Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mulana Muhammad An-Nabi Al-Mujahid Al-Shahid wa ala alihi wa ashabihi alladhina saru sayrahu wa jahadu fillahi haqqa jihadihi hatta atahumul yaqin amma ba'd. The siege of Damascus continued, and the Romans, in order to ease the siege, continued to send reinforcements. So Hiraqal from Antakya, where he was based now, he sent an army of reinforcements en route to Damascus. They camped at a place called Ba'labak. When they reached here and camped here, they received information of the defeat of the previous reinforcement army that was sent by Hiraqal, the defeat that they had suffered in Marju Sufar. So they became afraid and they hesitated to move forward, to continue towards Damascus. They were given instruction to proceed to Baysan. Baysan is a place in Jordan where an army was already based. A Roman army was camped there on the banks of the river Jordan. So they were given instructions that they should go and join up with that army that's already camped at Baysan. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu received information of this army. First he sends Khalid radiallahu anhu to Ba'labak, and after they realized that that army had already departed, Khalid radiallahu anhu returned to Damascus, and now they set out towards Baysan, where this new Roman army was camping and mobilizing. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu sent Khalid radiallahu anhu with 1,500 horsemen at the front of the army in order for him to move quickly and swiftly to this area. Because there was already a Muslim army that was camped there, or that was in that area. Either that army was under the leadership of Amr bin As radiallahu anhu or Shurahbil bin Hassana radiallahu anhu. So in order to strengthen that army, to give them reassurance that reinforcements were coming, Sayyiduna Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu sent Khalid radiallahu anhu with 1,500 horsemen ahead of the army. Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu remained at Damascus, laying siege to the city, and most and bulk of the Muslim army had moved over to Baysan. An important point for us to understand is when we're speaking about the movement of an army, this is a massive army that's moving, thousands of people. The travel in those days was difficult. Difficult travel in areas that they were not used to. And in order to just move from one area to another, sometimes 50 kilometers away, sometimes further away, how much of difficulty the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and the Muslims had to go through in order to just move from one place to another. All these difficulties they underwent for the sake of deen. Coming from Medina Munawwara all the way to Sham, and then moving around in Sham, the difficulties of fighting for the sake of deen. So, the Muslim army now comes, and they camp at a place called Fihl. Faha Lam, Fihl. This was opposite Baysan, where the Romans were camped. So the Romans were camped at Baysan, and opposite they camp at Fihl. This was on the banks of the river Jordan. The Romans had chosen their spot. It was a very lush area. It was a place that had enough grazing for the animals. So they were in no hurry to start any war. Rather, they were playing delaying tactics. They wanted to delay so that more reinforcements could come from Hiraqal. And that was happening as they were delaying the start of the war. They were receiving more reinforcements. On the side of the Muslims, they wanted to attack and start the war quickly because they were in a disadvantageous position. Thereafter, the Romans, in order to make it more difficult for the Muslims to advance and to delay the war even further, they somehow managed to open the water of the river into the plain and into the field, or into that area that was between the Muslims and the Romans. So when they flooded this area became such, the terrain became very difficult, very muddy, and it was not possible for the Muslims to continue and to advance towards the Romans. However, Sayyiduna Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu had instructed the Muslim army that they should attack the supply route of the Romans. In order for them to make it difficult for them, they should attack the supply route. During that time, the Romans wanted to start some type of negotiation, some types of peace talk. This is an important part for us to understand. When they start failing militarily, then they start negotiations. Today's time is the same. When militarily they are failing, then they start negotiations. And when they feel that we can apply military pressure in order to affect the negotiation, they start military pressure, and when that fails, again they go back to the negotiating tables. So they start and open the door of negotiations, and they ask and they request that we want one of your pious people, one of your learned and understanding people to come over. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu sent Sayyidina Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu to the Roman army in order to discuss with them and to speak to them. Mu'az radiallahu anhu was riding his horse. When he reached the Roman camp, then he dismounted from his horse, he held the reins of his horse, and he walked towards the Romans. So out of respect and honor for him, one of the Roman commanders gave the command to one of the soldiers that take his conveyance for him, take his conveyance, hold his conveyance for him, and respect him in this way. However, Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu anhu refused to hand over his conveyance. He said, I will keep my conveyance with me. There were very exclusive and luxury carpets, and very exclusive cushions that were all placed and arranged there. And they expected Mu'az radiallahu anhu to come and sit there and negotiate with them out of respect for him. However, Sayyidina Mu'az radiallahu anhu refused to put his foot on these carpets. Rather, he chose to sit on the bare ground, at the edge of the carpets, the bare ground on the sand, he chose to sit there. Now for them, they could not understand why will a person behave in this manner. So they constantly encouraged him that come and sit, this is out of respect for you. However, Mu'az radiallahu anhu explained to them the insignificance of dunya. That all of this is insignificant. This wealth that you have, and these luxury carpets, etc. that you have, all of this is insignificant. There were lengthy discussions that had taken place, but the gist of the conversation and the discussion was, they wanted to ascertain and find out from the Muslims that why have you come? Why have you left Madinah Munawwara and come all the way here? Initially they felt that maybe because, and they used to taunt the Muslims in this way, that because the lands that you are in are not so fertile lands, there's not so much of vegetation, so you came over to better lands where there's more vegetation, the land is more fertile, therefore you have come over. So Mu'az radiallahu anhu explained to them the three options. The first option that we already discussed previously, the first option is bring iman. That is the main objective that we have come for, you to enter into the fold of Islam. This great amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, we have brought this amana, we have brought this trust to you. So bring iman. If you bring iman, you will be exactly equal to us. Then you and us both will be equal. And if you refuse to accept Islam, then accept to pay jizya and come under the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This land belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the law of Allah has to prevail on earth. Therefore, accept to be under the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pay jizya. And if you refuse to do this as well, then the only option that we have is we will have to fight you. So they come about with another proposal. Again, not fully comprehending and understanding why the Muslims have come. They have not come for land. Rather, they have come for a higher objective. So they say to Mu'az radiallahu anhu that we have a proposal to present to you, that the area of Balqa, which is in Jordan, and all the Jordanian territory, which is next to the Arab lands, all of this we will give it over to you. We will allow you to rule over this land and take over this land, and you don't interfere with us. We enter into an agreement, and then both of us, we focus our attention to fight against the Persians. When they were discussing with Mu'az radiallahu anhu, they asked him, that why did you choose us? Why didn't you go to Persia? These people are weak. They are crumbling at the moment. Go and fight against them. That's easier for you. Why didn't you go to Abyssinia, which is so close to you? Why you came all the way to Rome? Why you all came all the way to Sham, to the Roman territory? We are so powerful. We've got such a powerful army. Why have you come to fight against us? So Muaz radiallahu anhu explains to them, then when they came up with this proposal, then Muaz radiallahu anhu says to them, that if you give us your entire land, if you give us your entire land without accepting one of the three options that I have presented, then also we will not be happy, we will still fight you. Because land is not our objective. Our objective is to implement the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have become an obstacle in the spread of deen. So in order for us to spread deen in this area, we will have to remove the obstacle which is your presence in this land. So they were very upset. They say that we are trying to negotiate, we are trying to look for some type of peace, but you are refusing to accept any peace. Sayyiduna Muaz radiallahu anhu, day after, he goes back, he returns. They send a message to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, that the person you have sent to us, he does not want to enter into any peace agreement with us. So now we are sending one person over to you. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu accepts. They send a very tall person who was reddish in color, blue-eyed, and he came into the Muslim army. When he came into the Muslim army, he says, Ya ma'ashar al-Arab, ayna amirukum? O Arabs, where is your Amir? On their side, there was all this luxury, and the commanders were sitting on those luxurious carpets, and on all those exclusive cushions. So on that side, there was a lot of pomp and glory. When he comes in the Muslim army, he can't even find the Muslim Amir. Because there's so much of simplicity, there's so much of equality. So he says, Ya ma'ashar al-Arab, ayna amirukum? Where is your Amir? He was looking for Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. So someone pointed out to a person sitting on the bare ground, and he had some arrows in his hand, which he was inspecting, checking on his arrows. So he comes to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, and he asked him that, why are you sitting on the bare ground? Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu first explained to him the insignificance of dunya. And then he goes on to say to him that even if I wanted to sit on something nice, I don't have that amount of money to buy something. He says, Ma asbahtu amliku dinaran wala dirhaman. I don't own a single dinar, a single gold coin. The commander-in-chief of the Muslims that is taking over the Roman territory, the superpower of the time. And he says that I don't even own a single gold coin or a single silver coin. وَمَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا فَرَسِي وَسِلَاحِي وَسَيْفِي. The only thing in my possession, my only assets, are this horse of mine, it's my weapons, and it's my sword. That's the only thing that I own. He goes on to say that yesterday I required to buy something, but I didn't have any money to buy it. I had to borrow some money from my close friend and brother, Sayyiduna Muaz radiallahu anhu. He lent me the money, and thereafter I bought that I required, and I purchased it. Then he goes on to say, نَحْنُ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ نَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْلِسُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ وَنَأْكُلُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. We are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We walk on the bare ground. We sit on the bare ground. We eat on the bare ground. نَفَّذِعُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. We lie down on the bare ground. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِنَاقِسِنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And this does not drop our status in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the least bit. Meaning, all of this is immaterial. This is dunya. There's higher objectives that we have. We need to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the simplicity of the Muslim ruler or the Muslim commander in chief. Thereafter, this person now presents his proposal to Sayyiduna Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. Here he adds one more proposal. He says, either we will give you 2 dinars, 2 gold coins and a pair of clothing for each of your soldiers. Now there were approximately 33,000 soldiers, Muslim soldiers there. We will give you this entire amount and you can return to Madinah Munawwara. Or the second option, which was the option that was given to Muaz radiallahu anhu, that we will give you certain parts of our territory and then we enter into a peace treaty. Now this option that they were giving, obviously this option was not from their side. When negotiations happen, then there's instructions that come from higher authorities. So this came from the side of Hirakal. This came from the side of the Roman Emperor that give them these options. This explains to us that they were feeling the pressure. And they realized that it was difficult for us to fight against this enemy. So therefore, they were prepared to enter into this kind of negotiation with them. However, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu again gave the same 3 options. And this is the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's nothing more. Nothing more that they have to present. That these are the three options. Because as we explained, that the purpose is to spread deen and to remove the impediments and the obstacles in the spread of deen. So as long as there will be obstacles in the spread of deen, therefore they will not accept those terms of the negotiation. Thereafter, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he instructs the army to be prepared for war, because the negotiations obviously did not materialize. So he instructs the army to be prepared for war. And the next day, the Muslim army now advanced towards the Romans. But as we explained, the Romans were in no hurry to commence the war. They were reluctant, they were delaying. So the Muslim army now advanced towards them, but they did not come out. The entire day passes in this way, without the Romans coming out for the encounter. The next day, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu leads a group of horsemen, or an army of horsemen, a cavalry, and he goes towards the Romans. The Romans send out horsemen as well, and there was fierce fighting that had taken place between the horsemen of the Muslims and the horsemen of the Romans. However, the Arab horsemen were much more skilled. Perhaps their horses also were much hardier. So and obviously they had the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Muslims, alhamdulillah, they managed to get the upper hand over the Roman horsemen, and they forced them to retreat. In this way, the Romans lost spirit, and the morale was very low, because the horsemen were forced to retreat. Sayyiduna Khalid radiallahu anhu explains to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, as we explained yesterday, that Sayyiduna Khalid radiallahu anhu was dismissed. However, he still fought in the Muslim army with the same fervor. With the same fervor, he offered the same type of advice, same type of experience. This did not change him in the least, because the position did not matter to him. Rather, it was the service of deen, and it was sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was his objective. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu now suggests to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, that whilst the morale of the Romans is low, and the morale of the Muslims is very high, it is now time for us to take advantage of this. Let us take advantage of this, and let us attack early the next morning. We should not delay in the attack. This is something which is important, the morale of the army. So this was the suggestion of Sayyiduna Khalid radiallahu anhu, that we should take advantage of this. So the next morning, actually at the last third of the night, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu began to arrange the Muslim army. They performed Fajr the earliest time, and now the Muslim army advanced. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu rode through the lines of the Muslims, offering them advice, encouraging them. Ibadallah, istawjibu minallahi nasra bis-sabr, fa inna allaha ma'as-sabirin. That, O servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that earn the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by persevering. Remain firm, persevere, because the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who persevere. Ibadallah, ana ubashirukum man qutila minkum bishahada wa man baqiya minkum bin nasri wal ghanima. O servants of Allah, I give you the glad tidings that whoever has to be slain, has to be killed, then he will earn the rank of martyrdom. And the one who remains, then Allah will bless him with victory, and Allah will bless him with booty. So this is a win-win situation for a believer. It is either imman nasr aw shahada. It is either victory or it is shahadat. And then he goes on to say, ma yudrakuma indallahi illa bi ta'atihi was sabri fil mawatin al makruha wa iltimasi ridwanihi. That the great bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, the bounties of Jannat, bounties of Akhirat, all of this, these great rewards, can only be attained by obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by persevering in difficult situations, and by earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Romans were between 50 to 80,000. 50 to 80,000 the Roman army was. They were so huge that it was not possible to see the sides of the rows of the Muslim, of the Roman army. It was not possible to see the sides of the rows. That's how long the rows were. The horsemen were in the center. So they came up with a different type of strategy. That every horseman was flanked by two foot soldiers. One had a bow in his hand and the other had a spear. So he will offer some type of protection for the horsemen. And like this, they had placed these horsemen that were flanked by the ground soldiers in the center of the army, which made it difficult for the Muslims to advance. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Khalid bin Walid radiallahu with that type of military skill. Khalid radiallahu anhu strategized and he planned, and he did certain tactics on the battlefield that forced the horsemen to go to the flanks. So he instructed first an attack on the right wing of the army, of the Roman army. When they attacked there, the horsemen went to help and assist. And then he instructed that an attack should be on the left side, left wing of the army. The horsemen went on that side. And at that time, Khalid radiallahu anhu says that Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the center for us. And now the Muslim army attacked the center. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them great progress. They managed to slay and to kill many, many Romans. They continued with the attack until they reached the camp of the Romans, right at the back of the army. They reached the camp, killing many, many thousands of Romans. In fact, it's mentioned that they killed approximately 10,000 Romans. Approximately 10,000 were killed. Qais bin Hubeira, who we spoke about earlier, he was one of the brave warriors pre-Islam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had advised Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu regarding him, that keep him close to you, show him attention, get his experience during the war. So he fought very bravely on this day. He was appointed to be in charge of one of the groups of the cavalry of the horsemen. He fought very bravely. He broke 3 swords in his hand on that day, and more than 10 spears broke in his hand. Khalid radiallahu anhu fought most bravely on that day. He was great inspiration and example for others around him. He himself killed 11 leaders and strong warriors of the Romans with his own hands. Among those that were made shaheed in the Muslim army was a sahabi by the name of Amr bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu. He was a sahabi who had accepted Islam in the very early days, and he was one of the earliest ones, or the first ones, to respond to the call of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for the armies to mobilize towards the Roman territory. So he was one of the first ones to respond with his group of people, those under his influence. There's many details regarding Amr bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had given him certain tasks during this war. Nevertheless, on this day, Amr bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he had a group of approximately 7 to 8 people around him, and he was fighting very fiercely. The Romans identified that this man is inflicting great losses to us. So they send a group of people, a group of warriors, and they surround Amr bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu. Amr bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu was in the front of his small group, seven to eight people, and he mentioned to them the ayat of Quran, يَا أَيُّوَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا زَحْفًا فَلَا تُوَلُّوهُمُ الْأَدْبَارُ. That, oh, people of Iman, when you meet the enemy, then do not turn your backs on the enemy. And that person who turns his back on the enemy, then there is great punishment for that person. وَمَأْوَاهُ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. His abode will be Jahannam, and what an evil abode it is. So then after reciting this ayat, then he says to his people, لَكِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ وَاللَّهِ نِعْمَ الْمَصِيرُ. Whilst Jahannam is an evil abode, Jannat is a wonderful abode. So Allah is warning us from Jahannam. So let us not turn our backs, rather let us remain firm, and we will earn our Jannat in this way. Then he says, but who will earn this Jannat? Wallahi, liman shara nafsahu al-yawma lillah, wa qatala fi sabilillah. That Jannat will be for that person that sells himself over today to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning he gives his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person will earn his Jannat. Sayyidina Amr bin Sa'id radiallahu anhu fought very bravely against this group of Romans that had encircled him until he was made shaheed. When he was made shaheed, they inspected his body, and he had 30 strikes on his body, and this was the way in which he had given his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.